Hey, just imagine 10 seconds from this moment, you just dropped dead, you know?
The accident and after. This is Greg Giordano reporting for WRPR News. Christina Esguerdo knows that every moment is precious, and that you should never take any time you share with someone you love for granted. On April 11th, 2010, Christina experienced 10 seconds that would change her life forever. Christina, along with friends Jared Gallipoli and Anthony Picknick, went to visit the University of West Virginia. The three had applied to the school in the hopes of attending together. The friends had grown strong bonds over the previous several years and lived lives reminiscent of most upper-class teenagers.
Living my life as if I was invincible. Partying in my backyard, we would drink on the roof, we would, you know, drive, like, always Elroy, like, we would just do shit you shouldn't be doing, you know? And I don't want to say we lived, like, on the edge, but we did. I mean, we didn't think anything would happen to us, and I had no worries in the world.
The visit to West Virginia University came to an end, and the three friends from Bergen County, New Jersey, made their return home.
I think we just entered Maryland, and we were listening to Paranoid by Kanye West. And that was my song at the time. So, you know, I blasted it. And I remember even telling Jared, like, because he was a shitty driver. I'm like, listen, like, if you get a text, I'm going to answer it for you. You get a call, I'll pick it up for you. Like, you're just going to keep your hands on the wheel, you know. And, like, I tried to, like, in a way, I don't know, control everything. So I was controlling the music, and that started playing, and I said, because Jarrett does this, like, terrible dance move. So I said, everyone do the Jarrett, and, you know, I did the move, and I remember Pick from the back seat leaning in between the driver's seat and the passenger seat, hysterically laughing, doing the dance as well. And then Jarrett jerked the wheel so fast, I'm pretty sure, I think 80, maybe 85 miles an hour. It was a 70-mile-an-hour road. Not even... It was a split second. The car was, we were driving east, and then all of a sudden we were facing west. And I remember seeing the car that was behind us now in front of us.
Their two-door Honda Civic careened off the road into an embankment. And from the wreckage, only Christina walked away.
And then we landed probably like 60 feet, what is it called? Like down a hill, I guess. On the other side. So we flipped... Also, on the westbound, we didn't hit another car, thank God. But, so we crossed the highway, and then we landed upside down. I remember looking to my left, to the driver's seat, and I recall not being able to see or make out what I was looking at, because the car was just so compacted.
Christina squeezed her 5'4" frame out of the wreckage, dazed and confused.
The car hissing, and I watched way too much TV that I assumed the car was going to blow up, so I ran. As I'm running, I'm kind of going through behind the car, and I noticed Pick, and he was outside, and he was probably like 100 feet away from the car, and he was kneeling kind of with his head down, and I could kind of hear him saying like, ow, but he wasn't like screaming, he wasn't kind of, you stub your toe, you're like, ow, 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 you know, like, so I didn't really think anything of it, so I ran to him, and I was running to him barefoot. I kind of, like, turn around, and I noticed Jarrett was still in the car. I didn't really see his face, but I remember seeing, like, his arm and leg kind of sticking out. Once again, I didn't really think anything of it, so I get to Pick, and he has no shirt. His shorts were like halfway down his thigh. He was kind of like, yeah, he's kneeling over and kind of like trying to gasp for air. Kind of like sounded like he was choking, but I mean, he was kind of just trying to catch a breath. And you know, shit doesn't happen to me, so I didn't think he was dead or dying. So I kind of just said to him like, "Oh shit, dude, this is really bad." And I told him he was going to be okay. I was like, you know, just hang in there, you know, I'm sure there's help coming.
Throughout these hectic moments, other drivers retreated into the embankment to aid Christina, Jared, and Anthony. One woman stands out to Christina among the rest.
And there was this woman who her hand on my shoulder. And I remember she had, like, kind of a bob cut, you know, kind of pale white brown hair. And she had sunglasses on. And I looked at her, and she said, kind of look at me, like, she kept asking me my name. She's like, don't look at your friend, he's okay, just look at me, like, you know, you shouldn't be looking at this. And I saw on her sunglasses my reflection, and I noticed that I had blood everywhere. I had a huge slash on my chest, I guess from the seatbelt, and I had blood all over my right arm. I cut my wrist open in the accident, but nothing serious at all.
Christina began to realize how serious the situation actually was.
So many people around me in the car, that there was certain people that kind of laid Pick down on his back, and then they put a blanket over his face. And at that point, I was kind of like, you know, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, he's not going to be able to breathe, especially if he's gasping for air. Like, you know, that's stupid. And I thought that was really stupid on their part, not realizing they're covering a body, and I'm just sitting there.
Finally, Christina made it to an ambulance.
And this guy, you know, the EMT, like, puts the stuff in my arm and starts testing me and taking my vitals and all that. And he asked me what happened, or he asked me something that I was just so honest, because I wanted to just make sure they knew everything. I didn't want to, like, you know, and at the same time, I didn't think my friends were dead, so I didn't want to throw Jared under the bus and be like, yeah, he, you know, he kind of just, you know, there was nothing on the road. He kind of just jerked the wheel. And I, you know, they kept asking me if there was something in the road. I was like, oh, I don't remember. I kept putting my head down. Like, I didn't really want to throw him under the bus. And I told him everything. I told him absolutely everything, every detail, how he was driving, that, you know, that he wasn't on drugs, he wasn't drinking. And the guy was like, you know, I appreciate you being honest with me, you know, you kind of just told me everything. He's like, so I'm going to be honest with you. He's like, your friends didn't make it.
Christina says the information didn't hit her. Numb to the news, she didn't accept it at first.
But it doesn't hit you that you don't, you know, if someone tells you someone passed, you're not like, you don't really think of death as like, okay, the end all of someone's life. It's like, so I'm never going to see these people again. They're never going to tell me anything again. They're never going to be there again. Like, they're just not, they just don't exist.
After her parents' arrival in Maryland, Christina was finally able to get in contact with friends and family. The situation finally sunk in. Christina made the journey home with her parents, the same journey she expected to make with Jared and Picnic just a few hours earlier.
I remember even passing the scene of the accident on my way home, because I had to. And my mom's boyfriend was driving, both my parents, and my dad was in the backseat with me, and he kind of forced me to lay down. I remember, like, so many people calling his cell phone, and that's when I came home, I think, at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, and I just remembered I needed someone to know the truth before, you know, because it was just me and my dad at the house, and he brought me all the alcohol he could find, and I asked him if this really happened, and he said yes, and I asked him if this was really bad, and he said yes. So I knew that today wouldn't be the worst day, that the days coming up were going to be really fucking hard.
The days that followed included both sadness and thankfulness. Sadness that two friends' lives were lost, but also thankfulness that Christina had survived.
I remember one time I was in the shower, and I was like, finally, like, you know, who's going to be in here with me? So I was crying and showering, and my dad knocked on the door, he's like, are you okay? And I kind of, like, said something smart back, like, no, my friends are dead, like, don't you expect me to be crying? Like, what do you think just fucking happened? So I'm crying, and all of a sudden the door barges open, and it's Megan, Erin, and Becky. And they open the shower door, they sit me down, Erin starts shampooing my hair, Becky starts washing my body, and I'm like, alright, whatever, at this point no one's gonna let me be alone. So I just cried while my friends washed me. Which is one of the, I think back to that moment, and I just think, like, I'm just blessed with such good people in my life, you know, and I lost two of them, because they were amazing people, but.
Christina assures all those listening to be careful. Your whole life can change in a moment.
Because I know that things can change, and, you know, if it's a rainy day, that has nothing to do with my anxiety on driving. That happened on a beautiful day, and that just goes to show that literally, you know, it's not just bad conditions, you shouldn't be driving, and you know, that something can happen. It can happen at any moment.
Christina is just one of countless others who have walked away from accidents in their lifetime. But not everyone is so lucky. Jared and Anthony are gone. They live only in the hearts and minds of friends and family left behind. For WRPR News, this has been Greg Giordano. Good night.